The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
At the end of the day, like, I wish I was Ringo, because I remember reading this questionnaire that the Beatles filled out when they're in their 20s, like, and one of them was, what do you want to be in life? Or, like, I don't remember exactly what the question was, or it's like, what do you want to actually be? And Ringo just wrote happy, and I think he did it.
Everyone's got their thing. All right, friends, it's time to listen long and prosper. You knew this day was coming. Welcome to the Fanatics Podcast, where we got a special one for you guys. I'm one of your hosts, David Magadoff, and with me is my most wonderful co-host, Claire Kramer. Hi, Claire.
Hi, David. It's not just a special one. It's a special 10.
Yes.
It's a tenor. It's a double high five, a high 10. Because we're doing all 10 episodes of Lower Decks. And what I mean by saying we're doing all 10 episodes is we're talking about Lower Decks, the episode that you just watched last night. And then we're having a cast member from Lower Decks come on and talk about not Lower Decks. They will be talking about what they're fanatical about. So it's like the magic shell on top of the ice cream cone, these next 10 episodes focusing on Lower Decks. Do you like all my food analogies, David?
I'm so hungry. Guys, we are talking about Star Trek Lower Decks on Paramount Plus. This is the animated comedy you've been wanting from the Star Trek universe for so long. And season 3 is a delight.
Just LOLs all over the place when you're watching Lower Decks.
Yes.
You know, I like the approach to Lower Decks, because we've spent a lot of time on the upper decks. I mean, let's be honest. We've been on the bridge for a while, you know, it's 56 years. So this is giving a peek behind or below the curtain, you know, seeing what really goes the rudimentary part of the ship, you know, and that to me is also the funny part of the ship. The show is extremely funny. I do laugh out loud many times. And, you know, here's something interesting to think about. We have 56 years of content, as I just mentioned, with the Trekverse. There's so many Easter eggs in this show peppered in. You can tell Mike is like a huge Trekker, because everything you're watching, I actually want to get my hands on the scripts, because I feel like reading them, I could even just I'm, as we've discussed on this podcast before, I'm a book before movie person. So I think I would like to like try to get the scripts to read so I can really point out those Easter eggs. You guys need to get on We Are Fanatics on Twitter and tell us your favorite Easter egg from episode 1. David, any other thoughts? I mean, obviously, great episode.
I love the vineyard moment from Boimler when they just discover him in the vineyard, you know, because there's always some character like Picard going back into the orchard somewhere. And I like that they don't make wine, they make raisins. That made me laugh.
It did not make me laugh, because I like wine.
I just like that it's called the USS Cerritos. I like that all the ships are just named after.
I can't get the Cerritos Auto Square jingle out of my head when I hear that.
And there has to be a Golden Gate Bridge behind every window, of course. Today, we have on Noel Wells.
David, what is Noel talking about?
Noel is going to talk about the Beatles. And you know her from so many wonderful things like Saturday Night Live, Master of None. And of course, you know her as Ensign Tendi on the show. You know, it's funny, right, Claire, when you do animation, it's amazing how much of someone's personality can just jump into a character, just voice alone. And she really is one of those types of actresses. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, she's just genius. She's just a great, great actress. And the show is phenomenal, as we've been saying. So I hope you guys are watching. I hope you watched last night, because now we're going to talk to Noelle about
the Beatles. Engage. Noelle, is George Martin an official Beatle or no?
Or Billy Preston.
That's the original guy. That's the original drummer, right?
They were just going to add Billy Preston. Billy Preston was a piano player. Did you watch Let It Be?
Oh, no. He's the piano player in the Get Back.
Yeah, or Get Back. Oh, my God. I got that wrong, too.
That's why I said you don't have to be an expert on the topic. You just have to love it. See, you're just
well.
A lover.
I think those were kind of the similar sessions on a level. They were all together.
But are they Beatles, or is it only the four of them are Beatles?
I would say that only the four of them are Beatles, and everybody else is just sort of orbiting. But
a sub Beatle, like a subreddit.
There's sub Beatle. Yeah. There's sub Beatle classes. I mean, I think John Lennon, had the authority to anoint Beatles when he felt like it, and whether or not that stands, it's in his grave.
They were moons in the Beatles' solar system.
Exactly.
So, Noelle, for someone who has never heard of the Beatles, listened to the Beatles, doesn't know anything, describe what they are. Who and what are the Beatles?
The Beatles they transcend space and time, but they originally were four young lads that found each other in Liverpool and started making music together. They were really inspired by Elvis and rock and roll, and they had a vision of having music that went around the world, and they recorded an album and literally created a worldwide sensation with their music, and over the years released several albums and evolved their style and their artistry and inspired generations of musicians and music lovers to come.
That was good.
Yeah, that was a great overview, top view. What was your first encounter experience, auditory experience with the Beatles?
When I was younger, I didn't really have a lot of experience with a lot of non-popular music. Like, old music wasn't very present in my home. It was just sort of whatever was on the radio. And I remember when I was in high school, I was dating this guy, and he was like, "Have you heard the Beatles?" And I was like, "No." And he was really mean to me about it, being like, "Oh, you've never heard the Beatles?" And I was like, "No, I haven't." And he eventually, quote unquote, cheated on me with a girl who loved the Beatles. And so I was like, I'm never listening to the Beatles, whoever these guys are. Like, they must suck, right?
Yeah.
And so I was like a teenager and still hadn't, music wasn't ubiquitous and it wasn't the easiest thing to get a hold of. You couldn't just go to Spotify and listen to something. You had to actually buy music. And so my first actual experience with the Beatles was I was 23 years old and I was working a job as a motion graphics editor for this e-learning company. And I would spend basically 12 hours a day doing stuff in After Effects alone. And I was like, I should be, maybe listening to music or trying to expand myself artistically. So I started stealing music from these street, downloading from BitTorrent, like albums like The Pixies and Sonic Youth and Weezer. And then one day I was like, you know what, I'm gonna listen to these Beatles guys. And so I downloaded all the Beatles albums and I got bit. Like, I couldn't believe that I had robbed myself of this musical experience. It was like a spiritual sort of thing. And I was like a 23-year-old alone on a computer having Beatlemania, but nobody was around me.
Do you know that Paul at 23 wrote Yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we all come to art at different times. you know what I mean? Like, I get it. I hit it a little old. They hit it really young.
The key is at 23, good things happen to both of you. That's all.
Oh, I guess that's true. I mean, that is true. I hearing that stuff for the first time was so revelatory that it's almost as good as writing it. writing yesterday.
What do you think about, like, what drew you in? Is it the dynamics of everything they've produced over the years? Is it the journey? Is it one particular album or song? Like, talk about, like, what really, like, you're sitting there at your computer. What is going through your mind?
I truly was taken by the music. I think the music, it's like, it's hard for me to piece it together, but it was like, I think the description is like, my world was very two-dimensional and maybe a little black and white. And suddenly it was almost like doing drugs.
Wow.
where you're just like, this exists, and it moved me so viscerally. It's hard. I think, you know, why were young girls freaking out in the 60s? There's a case to be made that they thought that they were hot boys, right? Like, that's one version. But even for me, like, I could Google them and everything, but the original thing was the actual music. It was like, it opened my mind artistically. And then, of course, after that, I became obsessed in a way that, I mean, I'm not really a fangirl of much of anything, but I will say the Beatles is like the thing I am a fan of. And so I went down internet rabbit holes. I read all the gossip from the time. I know about all their relationships. Of course, I think they're hot. You know, there's like, you know, there's that level. But it was just primarily the music just sort of opened up a whole new landscape.
My wife always loves watching old Beatles and seeing the audiences of teenage girls just have absolute fits, because she goes, I just don't get it, and I'm so enamored and charmed by it, because we don't really see that today. I mean, BTS kind of has a little bit of that. I even think Harry Styles, I've watched a little bit of the Harry Styles Apple Music stuff, forgive me, and seeing the girls scream for him that way, it's like there's just a little bit of that still trickles down, but It is a really wild phenomenon. Do you think you would have been one of those girls back in the day?
I think probably, you know, much in the same
fainting.
Way. I think much in the same way. I think I have I'm quite cynical. So I might have resisted it as it was happening, like just to be contrarian on a level. I'm not sure. I think it hit me in like the perfect time. I was alone and I could let myself be overtaken by it. Whereas like, if it was happening with a good group of people, I'd be like, this is a cult, which is my fear. Like, I'm like, I don't want to lose my mind in the presence of other people.
You like keeping it personal. You like keeping it a private. Yes.
I think I'm just scared of giving myself over to a force. And so, you know, even like with the Harry Styles stuff, I've actually met Harry Styles, and he is so insanely charming. It's hard not to, like, if you're vulnerable, like if you're not keeping up a wall, like that guy can work his devil's charm on you.
Did you feel flush? Did you feel red?
It was when I was on SNL. I guess he was a musical guest, or maybe he was making a cameo. I don't remember the specifics of why he was there, but he like looked at me and was like, hello, Noelle. Like, he knew my name, which is always like, what the hell? And he winked at me. And I was like, what just happened? This little boy just charmed the pants off of me. But then also, my wall went up immediately, being like, you don't get to do that to me. But also, you can do it. You can, I don't know. but I don't think the Beatles were that. I don't know if they worked the room that hard. I'm not sure. They, from, you know, watching the, you know, those videos and everything, they were extremely charming, but they seem to hold a little bit of a, you know, wall up, right? A little bit. Like, they were cool. They were rock stars.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
So what is your process when you sit down to listen, or when you do you throw it on when you're cleaning music? Does it have to be a deep dive? And also, how do you introduce, you know, friends and partners to the Beatles? Where's your entry point?
You know, it's so funny. So I became a Beatle maniac in a time where nobody's really like, you know, there are people that are fans and usually they've been introduced when they're younger or they're old men, you know, or they like actually lived in the time where the Beatles were. And so I would find, I guess the way that I would introduce people to the Beatles is I love the album Revolver. And I remember like I was sort of dating this guy and then I bought it for him on iTunes and I sent it to him, hoping that he would connect with it. And then obviously it didn't work out. And so I just kind of just try to show people the thing that I love the most. Like I think it's just sort of, what was your question? Your question was like, where do I go? I think there's so much history with the Beatles that the entry point, I can try to like sort of introduce it at the point that I think that person's at. Like, I'm like,
do you need close people in your life to love the Beatles like you? Or
no,
is it
because
something...
I just haven't had that experience, really. I feel like I think with the Get Back documentary coming out, more and more people started opening up to me about the Beatles because they're like, oh, yeah, we know Noel likes the Beatles, but we didn't, you know, now we have an entry point for it. But like I'm by no means an expert, but like. Like I know a lot, like, and I'm, and there's a lot of different angles. It's like, do we want to talk about Paul McCartney wings? Do we want to talk about George Harrison's solo career? Are we following Ringo Starr on Instagram? Like, do you know that Paul McCartney doesn't follow Ringo Starr on Instagram? Because I do, like, you know, that kind of stuff. I love their children. I follow their children on Instagram. I'm like invested in their music. I love Yoko. Like, I think it's a good test. When you're dating, to ask a guy what they feel about Yoko Ono, because if they're really ugly about her, that is a good test. Somebody doesn't like Yoko, they're not my people.
Well, Yoko came off so great, I think, in Get Back, because I think Yoko has gotten such a bad rap for just stereotypically generally hearing that story over and over again, which has just sort of become myth, right? That she broke up the Beatles. But then you watch Get Back, which is the clearest story of Yoko anyone's seen in the last decades, and you're just like, oh, she just sort of sat around and was perfectly pleasant and just kind of did Sudoku or crossword and just didn't really get in anyone's way. Linda was talking to her, like, she was not the reason. And I think that was really nice to see.
It's so nice to see. And then you also recognize, like, wow, sexism and racism was such a part of that narrative. And, you know, people felt such ownership over John Lennon and what they expected him to do. Whereas, you know, he, for his entire time with her, was just like, this is the woman that I love and you guys are speaking so ill of her. He was quite a man, if you think about it. Like, what, you know, men very, not rarely, but it's such a, he's actually kind of a hero in that sense. Like, him being like, this is like sexism and sexism's a real thing. And he just, so I guess that's why I mean, like, when I'm dating men or I get in people, if men are like, ew, I hate her. And I'm just like, oh, wow, where's that coming from?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the, yeah, guess what? Their answer is going to be, I don't know. Thanks for letting me know I should go to therapy.
Yeah. Or at least, like, you know, maybe don't just take what you've heard from the history books. One of the other things I thought was really interesting about the Get Back sessions was all of the rumors that I had originally read when I got into Beatlemania. They were actually in the documentary, they're reading the newspapers that the reading, like, headlines that are getting being written about them while they're doing the sessions. And I remember going to message boards and reading those exact same rumors about those sessions. And so it was very funny to see, oh yeah, like, I don't know if I believed them, but it was interesting to see, like, how peaceful everything was really going. Even their fights were just so low key, and the way that it was blown up into these, like, brawls. Very fascinating.
That's the British, though. The British fight, like, very low key. You know, everything is very,
maybe it's a lot more
muted over there.
Yeah, I guess it's true. I guess it's true. And then I'm like, well, how is that being interpreted as a brawl? And they seem to come to very fair conclusions at the end of their arguments. And mm-hmm. So I was like, wow, the way they handled conflict is very admirable.
Yes, fight like a Brit.
So I would listen to Peter Jackson being interviewed by, I think, Mark Maron on his podcast. And Peter watched all the old footage and went up to Paul and said, hey, you know what those sessions were like, right? And he's like, yeah, they were rough. Like, me and Ringo, like, none of us got along. It was a really hard time. And he's like, well, I just watched hours of you guys, and you had, like, the greatest time. And he's like, no, we didn't. He's like, yeah, I literally just watched hours of footage of just you guys hanging around, and you guys had, like, the loveliest time, and you're making music. And he went to Ringo, said the same thing to Ringo, and Ringo said, no, it was a rough time. So it's amazing that their memories,
I would say, just were totally different. Well, really, I would happened. Say that from watching that, I could tell Paul McCartney was having a hard time. Paul McCartney comes off like, to me, he seems like he's having a hard time. And
he's holding it together. the producer left. Yeah.
But yeah, well, I guess then, you know, we can't really write people's experiences for them, right? Like, you know, I think that that's also what's so cool about the Beatles is we all project whatever we want to get out of it and see out of it. And at the end of the day, these are actually just four human beings that are having their own unique experiences. And they just happen to be, they happen to rise to the level of myth. And so they represent whatever we are wanting to get out of that experience or whatever we're seeing in it, which is like a Rorschach test, I suppose. But at the end of the day, they're just people.
So let me ask you this. I like that you're dedicated to not just the four, but to the trickle down, to the lineage, to the, you know, the every off branch. Have you had the chance to meet anyone within the Beatlemania world?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I feel like I have pretty cool connections. Like, Beatles stuff comes to me a lot, and in a very beautiful way. Like, I get told personal stories from people that have interacted with the Beatles. Like, I get anecdotes a lot that I'm not really searching for. But as far as meeting anybody, I have actually had the opportunity to meet Paul McCartney when I was at SNL, and I was in such a dark place and very unhappy. But I was in, so painting the picture, I was, all I knew was is I didn't want this to be the interaction I had with the Beatle, like, feeling so dark. And I was in a hallway, left alone in a hallway with Paul McCartney, and he's like a nice guy. And he just sees me, I think I was like 25. There's just like a girl who's on Saturday Night Live. Let me go up to her and say hello. And so he walked up to me and to talk to me. And I was like, I cannot talk to my hero right now. And I just turned and walked away. And it sucks. Like, I wish I could do it over again. But obviously, like, it was what it was. So I had the opportunity to, like, talk to Paul McCartney, and I didn't do it. And hopefully I'll be able to redo it at some point. I also I did recently get invited to be in a George Harrison music video for My Sweet Lord.
I was going to ask. No, yeah. Well, I watched that video of like every comedian on in Los Angeles with Fred Armisen and Vanessa Bayer and Ringo was there. You got asked to be in that.
I was in it
great.
I was in it, but they cut me out.
Rewatch it.
I got cut out. No, it was funny.
Oh.
But to me, it meant more. It felt almost like a lifeline from the universe being like, you're still in the orbit of the Beatles. You know, like anything to do with the Beatles dropping into my life feels like a present. So I just being asked to be a part of it felt very meaningful for me, but I'm not actually in it.
Did you meet Ringo though? That's all
I
care
meet.
About.
I did not meet Ringo, and I really hope I get to meet Ringo because he's. Let me ask you guys a question: if you were a Beatle, which Beatle would you be, or like, who are you? What's your archetype?
Claire.
Oh, I don't know, David. You definitely go first on this.
Okay, that's a great question, and I love it. And then, of course, this is going back to you, Noel. I would say that's a deep question because it's who you are as a person. How do you want to be seen? This and that, blah, blah, blah. So there's like, I think each day I could probably wake up and be like, today feels like I want to be a Ringo day. And some days I want to be a George Harrison.
Yeah.
I'd want to be Ringo on the days where I just wanted to be the good times guy and just keep everybody happy. And that's to be my Ringo days and peace and love and all as well, because he really was just such a even keel seemingly dude. George, I'd wake up on days if I wanted to create the best music, it'd be George Harrison days, because George was, I think, creatively, arguably, I think the most artistically introspective Beatle and had some of the more interesting things to say. Paul just is such a cutie pants and made such great, great, great songs and was the melody maker of all. Ironically, I don't want to be John. You know what? I'd go in between the three of them, but John is someone who I'm thinking, and I'm like, he just had a lot of anxiety watching Get Back, especially just like knowing his deal. I just felt like he had a lot of weight on his shoulders in a way that I don't think is appealing. And I know I'd be missing out on writing some of the greatest songs of all time, but I'm okay with, I think my answer is I know who I wouldn't want to be. I wouldn't want to be John.
Yeah.
How about that?
Great. Claire.
I don't know. I'm going to have to reflect on that for a minute, but I want to call back to a second, Noelle, to you, 25-year-old you, depressed you in the hallway with Paul.
Paul, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, for me, when I'm laying in bed at night at like 3 a.m, my brain's like, hello, I'd like to talk about these unresolved moments in your life and replay what you should have done and, you know, what you should have said, blah, blah, blah. So I'm sure you've had this thought many times. Now, if you had that moment again, what would you say? Like, what would you say to Paul?
Well, interestingly enough, one of the things that I think the Beatles have done for me is they've opened me up artistically, and I feel like I found so much of my own voice because of their music. And I also started making music, and I think it's a huge passion for me. And so hopefully I get to it would be my dream to play music with Paul McCartney. Like I don't want to be a fangirl. I want to be like, you did this for me. Like you. Because you were an artist, I flowered as an artist, and you laid laid the groundwork for me to discover my voice. And he still continually inspired, like, you know, Paul McCartney, he's inspiring. He's like the ambassador of Earth. I saw him play at the Hollywood Bowl, I think 2 years ago. And it's interesting. Some of the guys I was with, they were like, wow, you know, they were kind of being mean about him. He's like, I don't know, 70 something. I don't know how old he is. He's in his 70s.
He's almost 80.
He's 80 and he's putting on these huge shows. Yeah. And I see that. And what an admirable human and what a showman. So I think if anything, it's that, like, thank you for still doing this, for still being a person who's open to performing for people and making their lives better. So.
I love that.
He invited Dave Grohl out in Glastonbury this year.
Yeah,
he's cool.
Band
on the Run together.
Yeah.
Noelle, who would you be? Which Beatle would you be?
I am, okay, it's really easy. I am John, it's just true. I'm John Lennon, for better.
That's great. So then between the two of us, we're with the Beatles.
Right? Yeah, but it's not a good, you know, the John Lennon part of my personality is a very restless, very angsty. It's troubled on a lot of levels, but it gets shit done. You know, he's like our band leader, right? So I'm John Lennon. Even though I don't like it, he's so egomaniacal and sometimes like, you know, I could be very similar, especially with my work. I wish I was George. And there are times, I think within the last few years, I've dropped into George a little bit, where it's a little bit more spiritual, a little bit more peaceful, a little bit more like, let me sit in my garden and be equanimous about reality. And I fear sometimes that I'm like Paul McCartney in the sense that he's like kind of, as the kids say, a little cringy. You know what I mean? Like
a little bright, a little shiny,
a little squeaky. And I think that that was the conflict that John had sometimes with him. So I think the cool kid in me doesn't want to be like Paul, but the businesswoman in me is like, what's so wrong with that? And then
he wrote Blackbird.
And he wrote a lot of good music. You know, it's so funny, like even their fights, like internally, like, you know, the John versus Paul, you know, the barbs that John would send at Paul about his music. I don't know. I think he's a tremendous songwriter, and Wings is a great band. And a lot of, I love so much of the songs from that. But, and then I wish at the end of the day, like, I wish I was Ringo, because I remember reading this questionnaire that the Beatles filled out when they're in their 20s, like, and one of them was, what do you want to be in life? Or like, I don't remember exactly what the question was, or it's like, what do you want to actually be? And Ringo just wrote happy, and I think he did it. Like, he is happy. And who wouldn't want ultimately at the end of the day just to be that? But it's funny, I have an album and I worked with a bunch of musicians, and there was somebody that I worked with, and I told them that they reminded me of Ringo. And they were very insulted by that. And I was like, how could you be insulted? Like, he's the coolest. And I meant it more in that she was so fun-loving and, you know, along for the ride, going with the flow. But I think it can be sort of like an insult if you, like, you know, take your music seriously.
No, that's her issue. That's her issue, Noelle. You did good. That's her issue. She doesn't know. That's her not knowing. Okay?
How cool Ringo is. Peace and love. Have you seen his Instagram presence? Like, I encourage everybody to go follow Ringo Starr on Instagram. It's just hashtag peace and love. Every single one of his posts, going back to the very beginning of his social media presence, like, never has changed. It's incredible.
He's a chill, chill, kind dude.
Yeah. And he's on top
of the world. I'm a huge Oasis fan, and I still remember the day his son, Zach Starkey, was for like a few years touring and did an album with Oasis, and I was like, it's all coming together.
Wow, that's so cool. Oh my God, I love it. And I love, I follow the children. Oh, not only my fandom, like, include not only their family, but I really got into Harry Nilsson a couple years ago, not even knowing the connection to John Lennon. And I became equally obsessed with Harry Nilsson, and then I put it together that he was his best friend at a certain point in time. And then when the Harry Nilsson account follows me on Instagram, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. And, you know, sending messages with their family and like doing, like, I did a tribute show for Harry Nilsson once, and just being in those orbits. But not only does it extend to, like, you know, how I connect with people, I also I've connected with like rock photographers that photograph the Beatles, and they follow me back on Instagram. And so those little things like feel cumulatively like I'm in this universe. But I also follow the John Lennon hashtag, and it's pretty fascinating. And there's a John Lennon impersonator in, I think, the Netherlands. I might be getting that wrong, but it's so weird that I watch it with this like I'm not a fan of it, but I kind of am. Like, so the obsession goes to even like those dark recesses of like how
I love that.
This man is and I've been following him for about 5 years, and his impression has just gotten better and better and better. And now he has a huge following, and it's it's fascinating. It's kind of like being an Elvis impersonator and how somebody would just completely change the way that they look and like get plastic surgery to like look more and more like this person. Just archaeologically,
it's a new level of dedication. What is the origin story of the name of the band? How did they come up with the Beatles?
Oh my God. I just found this out recently and I didn't like that I found out. I don't know the actual origin, but it's beat, like B-E-A-T. So it's the Beatles, like beat. It's a pun. And you don't think of them as a punny sort of group because you just think of them as the guys that dropped acid and were hanging out with the Maharaji, right? But they like started out sort of like geeky, like, we're going to make music. Wouldn't it be fun?
They were like 15, 16.
They were kids. They were freaking kids. It's just so funny. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't unsee this.
Do you have a favorite era? You mentioned the LSD, you know, acid era. Do you have a favorite like pre, during, post? What is, if you had to single in, which you don't, by the way, you could say everything. I love everything.
It is technically everything, but the most inspiring for me is the Get Back sessions. Specifically them playing on the rooftop, that since I've been 23, you know, YouTube had just come out when I got into the Beatles. And so finding that footage specifically became a guiding force of how I wanted to be as an artist, where I'm like, yeah, get on a fucking roof and break all the laws and sing your music out, you know, sing your heart out and get shut down by annoying, you know, annoying Brits who want things to be quiet. And so that to me, and the fact that the album is live, I love all of that. I don't really like things that are just overly produced stuff can have its place, obviously, but the like visceral living in the moment that was captured is the thing.
It's funny you mentioned that moment because, you know, most bands or icons have like one or two like defining moments or images. They have so many. There's so many, you know, so many images that are such strong images pop into your mind when someone says like the Beatles. That's just one of them.
So I always like to get into that feeling of, and you're touching on a lot of it, Noelle.
Okay. I am. Okay. I'm circling it.
We're circling the waters. Why, if you had to kind of step outside yourself and be like a little mini therapist on your shoulder and would look at you, Noelle, what would make you think there's this deep connection? Was there something maybe in your childhood or your parents or your family?
Oh.
Something that is, because a lot of people like the Beatles. You love the Beatles. Do you know maybe why?
I do. I'll give you a couple of answers. On the face of the psychological question, and I think specifically why I'm connected to John Lennon, you know, there's the orphan thing. You know, he's not technically an orphan, but he is technically kind of an orphan. He comes from a broken family. He was estranged from, you know, his father wasn't in his life. His mother was estranged. He lost his mother when he was quite young. He was raised by his aunt. There's this like broken family. And then, you know, through music became like, you know, he sprouted. He's his own universe. And I seriously relate to that psychologically. I feel that's a very strong connection. But to get into a more woo-woo territory, they're my heroes, right? They're artistic heroes. I think all artists, there are guiding forces that call you into your own. And I believe that they're that for me. Specifically, John, what is that for me? He's this artistic fighter. He was railing against the machine. He saw through all the bullshit. And so I relate to that. Like, there's somebody like me. You know, I look at that. That's a hero. That's how I see the world. And there's this book that I read a couple years ago that seemed to make a little bit more sense, in that it's called The Art Spirit. And it made the case that artists are connected to each other through time, and that artists are tuned into a wavelength, and the art is a representation of an ephemeral reality that they're translating into concrete reality, and that there is a stream of it, and artists are picking up where the other artists are leaving off. And you know, maybe I haven't quite gotten there personally where I would like to be. But as we've established, I was just discovering the Beatles at 23, not writing yesterday. But to me, there's like a passing of the baton where I'm like, I feel this. I know what they're saying. I'm in this stream. And so the Beatles are, they're like the apostle. They're like the artistic apostles for me. And so I don't know if that's exactly psychological. If you know, like you said, people say they love the Beatles, but sometimes deep in my head, I'm like, but do you know that? Like, do you get it? Like, are you there, man?
Do you really love like, them? Yeah.
Or are you there? Like, do you know what they were saying? Like, are you tapped into that stream? Like, are you there? And I only know a couple people when I meet them where I'm like, oh yeah, you are there, man. You're there. You get it. And one of them's like one of my music partners. Like we feel like we get it. But I know a lot of people feel that way. So
yeah, I think that's so great.
And is that too much? I don't want it to come off as like full of shit. No. But also like John Lennon was like that, right? He was like, man, I get it. Like, I get it. I'm here. I'm trying to talk to you. No one's listening. You're just all fighting me and arguing. And I'm trying to tell you something for you to be able to live your life like a little bit clearer.
But it's like once you start, it's like anything else, any other concept like that. Once you start opening your mind to the once you start opening your mind to the possibilities of the universe, then the more your mind is opened. And that's, you know, a direct relation to what you're saying, I feel.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, art comes from, what am I saying? I don't know what I'm saying. It's just artists are channels. And I think with the way that commerce is, sometimes artists are about something else, but really they're messengers, and that's this sort of a spiritual thing that's like a different, and that's the part that you're saying opening your mind, but it becomes kind of religious and spirit, and you know, it's it feels religious, even though, you know, somebody like John Lennon was so against religion, and yet he somehow is messianic. He's a shaman.
Yeah,
he's a shaman whether he wants to be or not.
Well, I think you'll agree with me on this, Noelle, because I, you know, I'm more of a Paul to your John, and I think the idea of the Beatles to me is that so many people can like the Beatles for so many different reasons, and you can be, if you listen to enough songs and specific songs in certain ways, the messages are very, very deep and very, very sincere and very, very cut to the heart of your heart and speak to people. Like you're saying, like it's like there's like a wavelength above you, a la Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, when Mike TV is getting transferred from the machine to the microwave, right? And it's like, it's just there, man. Put your hand up, you'll feel it.
Yeah,
And then there's, you know, I want to hold your hand. Yeah, yeah. But they're both the same Beatle, and it's the same. They were able to transfer all of that in the most beautiful melodies and the most interesting sort of ways. And sometimes things were a little hippy dippy with Within You, Without You and Blue Jay Way. And then there's some cool shit that's like, again, like got to get you into my life. And I think the fact that they're all under that umbrella, because these four men came together with four different ideas, but they all were right on that weird energy shift, and I think they were able to make music that if it was just any of them alone, they wouldn't have reached that many people, and the fact that like so many people got tapped into it, I think is a testament for group and minds and groupthink, and you know, the specialness of bands. That's why bands are special.
Yeah, it is. They become this flashpoint. You know what's so interesting, as much as I, you know, I'm saying like John Lennon's like a messiah. People would come to him like that. There's, I don't know if it's the Imagine documentary, but basically somebody came to is it Titten House? I don't know what it's called, but his castle that he lived with Yoko. And this guy was like, your music said this and it means this to me. And John was like, yo man, I'm just a guy. Like, it doesn't mean anything. I'm singing about myself. It truly isn't bigger than that. And so I'm sure there's a part of him where he, do you know?
And it is and it isn't, right? It
I know, totally right? Is, he's like playing, he plays both sides. Like,
well,
I know.
It is and it isn't. I'm a huge Oasis fan. Noel Gallagher's like, I just write songs, and some people are like, this is my everything. It's this, any artist, a painter, an actor, a singer. It's however you get to do it. And so sometimes your interpretation gets, you know, spoken to by the audience exactly as is. A lot of the times you're doing one thing, but someone else sees it a different way. And that to me is the beauty of art. And so the thing is, John really is being honest in those moments, I think. But at the same time, when you walk away from a song and go, oh my gosh, Strawberry Fields is like my everything. Thank you so much. Like, this is heaven on earth. And it's like, okay, well, I was just, you know, in a field one day writing a song. You're both right. That to me is the beauty. Mm-hmm. Like, there is this vibe, and it is absolutely charming AF that you are just so into it. Is it so good?
I don't want to come off as full of shit.
No. Are you kidding me?
Oh, good.
You kidding me? All right. I got a rapid fire for you.
Okay.
You ready? And this is longer than we normally do because we're so fucking into it. Here we go.
Okay, great.
Rapid fire. John versus Paul.
John.
Okay, done. Sgt. Pepper's versus Abbey Road.
Abbey Road.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. Sgt. Pepper. I mean, I like it, but we can go into that another day. Okay.
You and me, girl.
Okay, good.
Maxwell Silver Hammer, all day for me. Do you not like it, or you're shivering bad?
I would be Abbey Road minus my least favorite song of all time.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, it's that's interesting, though. Yeah.
We're really John and Paul.
Yeah, we are.
But the whole 12-minute, like, Golden Slumbers medley at the end, that thing is maybe the greatest thing that's ever existed.
Yeah, that's where I'm on. I'm on team that. Okay. For sure. Okay.
Great. That I think is the greatest thing.
Golden Slumbers feel my eyes. Yes. It's great. Yeah, thanks, Full Spectre.
Yeah, we need have you heard of the George Martin album that he has, like, I'm sure you have, Jim Carrey doing I Am the Walrus and Robin Williams doing Come Together and Goldie Hawn doing Hard Day's Night?
No, but I guess this is what I have to get into.
Noelle, get ready for a heck of a DM for me after this.
Oh, great. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Get ready.
I'm so excited.
you're gonna love and hate it deeply.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
The Paul McCartney is Dead backtrack. Quick rapid fire on that.
I love it. What do you mean? Like, I find it funny.
Great.
Yeah. Funny.
I don't know. Great.
Yeah.
Favorite Beatles gossip?
George Harrison giving Eric Clapton his wife.
Great. Hey Jude versus Blackbird.
Hey Jude.
Who is the walrus?
I am.
Amazing. Amazing. Who is the Eggman?
The walrus.
Favorite Beatles song, if I could dare ask such a thing.
My favorite, if I have to pick, is Love by John Lennon. But that's not a Beatles song. You mean like Beatles?
Yeah, I mean the four of them recorded on a Beatles album.
It's probably, A Day in the Life.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
Who is bigger, Jesus or the Beatles?
The Beatles.
Style-wise, mod Beatles versus post-LSD Beatles.
Mod Beatles.
Yeah.
Style-wise. Yeah.
So, who had the best solo album?
George Harrison.
All Things Must Pass?
Yeah.
It's a great album. Does Ringo get a... And then we kind of answered this, but does Ringo get a bad rap?
Totally.
Yeah. Totally.
Totally. Right. But also I think he appropriately gets a good rap. Did you ever read the Quincy Jones article that came out? It was like it was a couple years ago where he talks all this shit about the Beatles. So Quincy Jones just has this crazy interview where he's saying all these wild things and he was talking a lot of shit. And he kind of talks about how bad the Beatles were and how horrible. He was like, Ringo Starr is like the worst drummer ever. But then he goes, he was a great man though. Cool man. Like, so you guys should definitely go look up that article or that interview. It's crazy. And I read it every once in a while just because it's so entertaining.
I am definitely going to read that.
Noelle, if someone listening to this, there are people out there, there are people listening to this right now who have not really ever done anything properly of a Beatles deep dive. They never actually heard of an album. There are people who've just heard Hey Jude or Yesterday, but never really checked out an album. Would you say Revolver is your gateway drug, or would you have them go somewhere else?
I would suggest if you want... Actually, this is going to be so blasphemous, but I think just go to Spotify and go to, like, This is the Beatles playlist and just start there so you can get, like, a sampling of it, because I think you know, depending on people's attention span, I'm not sure at what level they're going to really get Revolver. Not that they're not going to get it, but just if you're not in love with I Want to Hold Your Hand and, you know, Revolution Number 9. I don't know. You know what I mean? Just
that's the great thing is you there's multiple entry points. So you can start with the commercial stuff and then work your way into the, you know, out into the different spokes of different, you know, eras and albums and whatnot. So there's so much content. Okay, Noelle, this has been an amazing, amazing podcast. I've really enjoyed listening to you and David talk about the Beatles. And I have learned a lot. Please bequeath us with a love letter to the Beatles.
Okay, here it goes. This is embarrassing. Dear Beatles, thanks for entering the world and inspiring everything that has made my life worth living. You are the artistic apostles of our modern age, and may your tunes continue across the universe, opening the minds and hearts of those who stumble across your music for millennia to come. Love, Noelle.
Yay.
Good night. Oh. Good night. That was great.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
David, that was such a fun episode for me because I have what I would consider like street knowledge of the Beatles. Like I can survive with my knowledge. I can carry on a conversation. But you have what I would consider like Oxford knowledge of the Beatles. So it was really fun like hearing you like deep dive into all the different albums and eras and facets. Tell me more. Tell me something I don't know that you didn't discuss in the podcast about the Beatles and your love for the Beatles.
I thought Linda was British, Paul's wife. She was an American chick, was a photographer. And I was like, oh. So seeing her in the Get Back documentary and seeing her just be like, hi, how are you? And you're like, oh my gosh, I thought you were British. I don't know why. So that's one thing, maybe. Did you know
okay,
that?
Okay. Here's another question. So Noelle said, you know, her entry point was listening to the songs, you know, the streaming, downloading and like streaming just individual songs. Yeah. Would you recommend that as an entry point? Or from your perspective, would you say this is the album, start with this album and then you can go from there?
I would absolutely say start with an album because they made albums. I disagree with the Spotify playlist because I grew up with that. I think we all grew up with that. AKA just Beatles on the radio. So there was never like, here's an album. But there's a time and place for when an album is worthwhile an album. And there's a time and place where you don't need an album. Beatles made, in my opinion, more cohesive thematic albums than they didn't. And I think it's really fun to hear a Beatles album. So Abbey Road, for instance, is just the greatest album potentially of all time.
That's where someone who wants to, like for me, like now I'm like, oh, maybe I want to know a little more about the Beatles. Like maybe I want to get deeper into their music.
Yeah, I'd say Abbey Road.
Go with Abbey Road.
That's what I'd say. Here Comes the Sun, Come Together. Like I was saying with Noel, that last like five songs, it's just great because they're all these like 1 minute songs, but it's sort of a medley. Like, you know, the song Band on the Run, Claire?
Yeah.
You know how it starts off with do, 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 you, and then it eventually gets into do, 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 Band on the Run. Like it actually,
yeah,
it's almost like three, if you listen to that song, it's like three little separate songs but they're one giant song. And that's something that I think Paul did really well. And that's something that he really explored with and they did as the Beatles, especially with Abbey Road. And no one was doing that. No one was doing like these little 1 minute bits that turned into a giant pop epic. So yeah, I like the Beatles.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing I will say is I like albums. Like, I miss that. I miss that whole experience of, I mean, the music industry obviously has changed significantly in the last two decades, you know, because of the way we consume media, you know, and it's just the way it is. It's neither better or worse, but I think it's worse because I like albums. I like the experience of like putting on an album and knowing that you're going on this like emotional journey. That's why I love Peter Gabriel so much. Like, I feel like he's like my Beatles. He is the number one person in my life. You know, Peter, like the Secret World album, I've probably listened to it like 500 times. Like, I just love it. I know every word to every song, everything. So I respect that. And I want to enjoy that about the Beatles. So that's what I'm going to be doing this weekend. I'm going to be like, and the fun thing, David, is I've gotten my daughter into vinyl. So she has a player and we go, like, that's part of like a bonding thing we do now. Oh, she's 14. So she's like kind of like jaded a little bit. But I'm like, this is a cool thing to do. Go hunt for albums that you want to play on your record. And so I think we'll go try to find Abbey Road.
That's fun. I think that's great. What a beautiful thing you can do with your daughter, too. I do appreciate that you have street gang fight knowledge of the Beatles. I think that's always, we all should have that.
I can take on someone in like a rudimentary trivia, you know, pop, pop, pop. But I want to get deeper.
Not to get even so deep and make this the longest outro in the world, but the Peter Gabriel thing is very interesting. Have you ever gone down the road of early Genesis?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yes.
Have you gone down early Genesis, though? That is some weird shit.
Oh, it is, but I love it. I mean, that's what makes him a creative genius. You know what I mean? He evolved in a different way. That's another podcast I'll have to like.
Could you do a Peter Gabriel Fanatics episode?
No.
Okay. You love him, but you don't love him to that degree.
No. I haven't done one. I would absolutely do
one. Well, I know you haven't. I love him to that degree. I've been on every episode with you.
Well, I know, but I don't know. I thought you were like tripping for a second. We're talking about the Beatles and Peter Gabriel. It's not out of the question. He is like my number one person in the like Michael Jordan, Peter Gabriel. That's like kind of like my two that I just absolutely love.
He's great. So. He's great. That album, I mean, that's...
No, he's more than great, David. He's a genius.
He's a genius. No, that album, is, you know, is it maybe one of the greatest albums of all time? Yeah.
That's a good album, but Secret World Live, the live recording Secret World, where he sings with Katie Lang and Sinead O'Connor, is beyond. So, well, that's another episode. Anyway, we got to let you guys go.
Do we?
Go Google some Beatles. It's a Peter.
All right, guys. Thanks for being with us today. We had an absolute pleasure with Noelle and a pleasure with you guys. Please 5 stars, like, subscribe, share, all the things. We appreciate it. And join us next Thursday, as always, for a brand new episode.
Sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring.
And coming up next week on Fanatics Lower Decks, we have Fred Tatasciore. Yeah, that's right, Fred. You know him as Lieutenant Shanks in Star Trek Lower Decks, the show we've been talking about. He was also voiced so many characters, the Hulk, the Beast, Yosemite Sam, Soldier 76 from Overwatch. He's a legend. And he comes on to talk about his love of body surfing in the ocean and the ocean and water in general. It is an awesome episode with Fred Tatasciore. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you for listening to Fanatics, a Roddenberry podcast. For more episodes and info, head over to wearefanatics.com or tweet your Fanatics thoughts and stories at wearefanatics.
Yes, that's We Are Fanadicts. Our show is hosted by Claire Kramer and me, David Magadoff.
Produced by me, Claire Kramer, and Kelsey Goldberg. Executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham. And you can thank Stephen Mudd for our theme song.
Catch us next Thursday for another Fanatics episode.
Noel lives in a yellow submarine. A yellow submarine. A yellow submarine. Noel lives in a yellow submarine.
And we wish we did too.
That's true.